Shall we bow our heads together now for a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together. We seek thy help today. Give us, Lord, that which our hearts need, that we might continue to live for thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, if you have your Bibles, will you open them, please, to the 10th chapter of the book of the Revelation, keeping in mind that yesterday we read the entire paragraph in your hearing so that we might have the complete picture before our eyes. Today, we are not going to read the entire passage because of the limited time that we have. But when we read the 10th chapter of the book of the Revelation, we noticed that there was a mighty angel who had in his hand a book that we have been pleased, because of the subject matter, to designate the bitter sweet book. This mighty angel stood on land and on sea and uttered with loud voices of thunder. John was ready to write down what his eyes had seen and his ears had heard, and he was restrained. And then he was given the book to eat. And he was told that it would be his responsibility to prophesy over many nations yet, as far as his life was concerned. We have spent some time identifying the mighty angel, and we came to the conclusion that the mighty angel was exactly what the words say, another mighty angel. He is not the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe this is important to the understanding of the book of the Revelation, remembering that the 10th chapter of the book is what we call a parenthetical chapter. It does not fit in necessarily chronologically anywhere. It contains information that is given to us so we might be able to know what happens afterward. Now, as we continue our discussion of this 10th chapter, we want to spend some time identifying the little book that we have been pleased to call the Bitter Sweet Book. If you look at the second verse of the 10th chapter, you will notice that the angel carried this little book in his hand. We are intrigued with it. We would like to know, since it is the subject of the entire chapter, exactly what this little book is. All we are told about it is that it is open. It is where everybody can see its contents. You recall now, we have already had a seven-sealed book, but this one is an open book. It's not mysterious, and several suggestions are made as to what it is. One suggestion is that it is the seven-sealed book that you found in the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation, and that by this time the book is open. So, perhaps it is the seven-sealed book. It would not behoove any of us to be dogmatic in that respect. Some suggest that this little book is the little book mentioned in the last chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel had written the prophetic word, you will remember, and God said, "Seal up the book that you have just written, because it is not to be opened until the time of the end." Well, we know from our study of the book of the Revelation that at this particular time, when this angel makes his appearance, we are in the time of the end. We are in the time of the end when we get to chapter 10 of the book of the Revelation. So, maybe it was the book of which Daniel spake. None of us should be dogmatic. Now, I'm going to suggest something to you that I believe. The thing that I believe is that this little book is not the seven-sealed book now open, nor is it the book of which Daniel wrote in the last chapter of his prophecy. I'm going to suggest to you that it is a book, the message of which has not yet been fulfilled up to this point in the book of the Revelation, but which is related to the remaining things that are going to happen in the tribulation period. My reason for thinking this is not without foundation. It is found in verse 11. After anticipating ourselves for a moment or two, John had eaten the little book in question. It had a certain effect on him. The angel about whom we have been thinking said to John in verse 11, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." Now notice the verse again. "Thou must prophesy before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." May I suggest to you that the word "before" in verse 11 is an unhappy translation. It would lead you to believe that John was to stand before various kings and give his prophecy. That's not the meaning of the text. It would be better to use the word "concerning" than the word "before," so that you could read the verse. "He said unto me, Thou must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." I believe that the little book contained these prophecies because John was able to prophesy concerning many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings, as he does in the remaining portion of the book of the Revelation. He was able to do that only after he had thoroughly digested the little book to which the angel had called his attention. Now let us go back for a second or two to the second verse of the 10th chapter again. "This angel, who had the little book in his right hand, set his foot upon the sea, and his right foot upon the earth, indicating that he was taking dominion of both earth and sea, that what he had to say was universal. And he cried aloud with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." Now, here again, we have two very intriguing statements. What do they mean? What does it mean when we read that this angel cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth? Notice the comparison is not in the sound of the voices, but in the time when the voice was given. He is not suggesting that this angel roared with a loud voice as a lion roars, but that he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you will take the time to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 21, you will find a reason for this that we find in Revelation 10. Remember, we've told you that every symbolism is explained either in the book of the Revelation or somewhere else in the Word of God. In the 11th or the 21st chapter of the book of Isaiah, we look at verse 8. "The watchman was on the watchtower, watching for the approach of the enemy. And in verse 7, he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels. He hearkened diligently with much heed, and he cried," notice now, "A lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen." And he answered and said, "Babylon is fallen, is fallen. All the graven images of her gods he hath broken to the ground. Oh, my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you." Now, are you thinking, when the watchman cried out at the approach of the enemy, "A lion, my lord," what was he saying? Judgment is coming. Danger is approaching. Going back to Revelation 10, when the Spirit of God says that this mighty angel cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, he was not talking about the sound of his voice. He was talking about the meaning of the cry. The meaning of the cry was danger, judgment is about to fall. We're going to have to stop our meditation right there. The next time we meet with you, we will think about what the significance may be of the seven voices of thunder that accompanied the shout of the mighty angel. Nobody knows what they said. There's one thing we do know. Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind, and those who are willing to receive him may have eternal life. We hope you will give serious consideration to the claims of Christ upon your life today.